And I'm so glad to be a part of this church and to be able to be witness to those things. We have lots of good things going on. If you happen to be just visiting us because you want to check out the kids, glad that you're here. In about a little over a week, we're going to be caroling out in neighborhoods. Maybe you want to be a part of that. On Christmas Eve, we'll have two services, 4 and 6. They're identical services. Hopefully you can be here for one of those. And then into the new year, we have some great opportunities with Financial Peace University, Grief Share, which will be starting up. And all of these things are in your bulletin, so I encourage you to check that out. If you didn't get one on the way in, you can probably get one on the way out or check out our website. We are in a series called The Line. And the line is, that's a word we use quite a bit. You can hold the line, you can cross the line, you can draw a line in the sand, you can get to the end of the line. But all of those things have to do with there being some demarcation, right? A line is something that separates things, and specifically, we split time between BC and AD. By the way, that's not before computers and analog and digital, which some might think. It actually stands for before Christ, refers to the years before when Jesus was born. The BC era begins at 1 and goes backwards. And then AD stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. And we measure time that way. In fact, all of history is split down the line of Jesus' birth. And that's what the line is all about. What difference does Jesus' birth mean for us? Biblically, there were 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Silence that was shattered with the birth of Christ. And the line is just that, the birth of Jesus, and specifically in this series, the difference that Jesus has made. Last week, we talked about how the birth of Jesus fulfilled the promise and the promises of the Old Testament and ushered us into this age of fulfillment where God's promises are being fulfilled, and we see that being played out. Why is this so significant? Well, Tim Keller put it this way. Here's why the doctrine of Christmas is unique. On one hand, you've got religions that say God is so immanent in all things that incarnation is normal. If you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, God is immanent in everything. On the other hand, religions like Islam and Judaism say God is so transcendent over all things that incarnation is impossible. But Christianity is unique. It doesn't say incarnation is normal, but it doesn't say it's impossible. It says God is so immanent that it is possible, but he is so transcendent that the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is a history-altering, life-transforming, paradigm-shifting event. Christmas is not just frankly doctrinal, it's also boldly historical. The manger, the resurrection, the story of Jesus is not just a story, it's the truth. And so this morning, I want to bring another dynamic to the conversation about what difference does the birth of Jesus make. And let me suggest to you this morning that we're going to look at and see that Jesus raised personal value and worth. He raised that value. And I want to look specifically at three people that Jesus raised the value of. And when I say people, I really mean sort of people groups. The first, ironically enough, is that of children. Jesus raised the value of children. In that day and age, before Jesus, children were viewed almost like subhuman. They had little worth, no rights, and mostly because they couldn't contribute financially to the community. What value did they add? And if they didn't add any value, then they had no value. But that changed dramatically. Turn, if you will, just going to because of time's sake, we're going to look at a couple of passages, and then I'm going to reference some other passages. So if you're one who likes to track and keep track, then you might want to take a pen out of that chair in front of you and jot some notes down. But the first place is Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look specifically at verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10. Here's what we read in verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus And this may be a familiar passage to you. You may have heard that, yeah, they brought children to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to touch them. He wanted Jesus to bless them, and the disciples rebuked them. It's interesting in this particular accounting of the ministry of Jesus that it was the disciples that rebuked. It wasn't those who opposed Jesus, like, hey, let's not anything good happen when Jesus is around, but it was the disciples, reflective of the way children were viewed at that point in history. It says, but the disciples rebuked them. Basically, what does that mean? They went to the people bringing the little children and said, hey, knock it off. We can't bother Jesus with them. Get out of here. Back off. He's got more important things to do. They rebuked them. Verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. In other words, he said, it's okay for the children to come, and actually the children give us a glimpse into what it's like to come into the kingdom. We come with that innocence, that trust that a little child has. Verse 16 says, he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. See, one of the things we see about raising the value that Jesus did of humans, of people, was children. He welcomed them and he blessed them. When other parts and other aspects of society at that point said, no, they don't have much value, just get them out of here, Jesus raised the value of children. I dare say that's one of the reasons here at this church that we invest in kids. Much like you saw this morning, the investment into children, being able to understand what Scripture has to say, to recognize their part in the greater, broader body of Christ. We have folks who invest in them week in and week out, your kids, your friends' kids, your grandkids, because Jesus raised the value of children. Not only that did he welcome them and bless them, but he also healed them. We see a numbers of times in Scripture where Jesus healed children. In John chapter 4, the official's son had a disease, and Jesus healed that official's son of that disease. In Mark chapter 7, a Gentile woman's daughter was brought to Jesus. She was demon-possessed, and Jesus healed of that demon possession. And then maybe you might be familiar with Jairus. Jairus was a leader. In Luke chapter 8, his daughter had died, and Jesus healed her or raised her even from death. Jesus welcomed and blessed children. Jesus healed them. Jesus raised the value of children in Scripture, and so we do as well. That's a difference that we see, the difference that the birth of Jesus brought into this world. A second person or group of people we see that Jesus raised the value and personal worth of is women. Women in biblical times were considered second class. In fact, one writer put it this way, the fact that women are called by name in the Bible is significant. In a culture where women could not own property or testify in court, a woman's opinion or her presence at an event was not even worth mentioning. Yet the New Testament shatters those social norms by including the names of many women and the specific roles they played in furthering God's kingdom. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, when we split time between B.C. and A.D., the birth of Jesus and his ministry raised not only the value of children, but of women as well in the culture's eyes. I'll reference a few because we're short on time this morning. But you may remember some of these. You may be familiar with these passages, maybe not. But Jesus met up with a Samaritan woman at a well in the middle of the day. This is a woman who was outcast from her community because of poor decisions she had made along the way. John chapter 4 records for us that Jesus spent time with her. And Jesus revealed himself to her. And then the commentary on that interaction was, the woman went back to her community, and many in that community believed because of her testimony. Jesus raised her value even in the eyes of that community in which she was an outcast. There were women in Scripture that anointed Jesus' feet. All four Gospels record for us these examples. And although initially rebuked, why would you even consider that? Jesus emphasized and made a lesson on the worship that was given him in these instances. Raising the value, not dismissing the ministry that was taking place. And then there was the woman who had an issue with her blood, and Jesus healed her. Luke chapter 8 talks about that encounter where Jesus stopped everything that was going on, and he was in the midst of a crowd. Midst of a crowd where obviously there was a lot of folks and there was a little bit of hustle and bustle that was going on, and certainly we would have expected that people bumped into or interacted with Jesus, and he just stopped everything. He said, hold on. Who touched me? Something just happened. Emphasizing the importance of that interaction of that woman who had struggled for so long with that health issue. There are others who played significant roles in the gospel. We think even at the very outset of Jesus' life here on earth came through Mary, the mother of Jesus. Early on, as Jesus was brought to the temple, a woman named Anna was one of the first ones that the Holy Spirit revealed who Jesus was to her. Mary and Martha, the brother or the sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus considered friends, spent time with him. There was a woman who was caught in adultery. They were ready to kill her, yet Jesus defended her. I think it's noteworthy in Scripture that women were the last to leave the crucifixion and the first to witness the resurrection. You see, Jesus raised personal value and worth of children, of women, and then the last, I'll suggest to us, we find in Galatians chapter 3. So that's the other place, if you would. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. And I'm simply saying that Jesus raised the value and personal worth of outsiders. Outsiders. Women and children, biblically, were outsiders early on, but Jesus changed that. But Jesus changed and raise the value and worth of those who were outsiders. You see, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came onto the scene, we recognize that the Israelites were God's chosen people, right? And then there were Gentiles, and then there were Samaritans, there were Greeks, there were all those other people. And there was that distinction. But one of the things that Jesus coming to earth emphasized and demonstrated for us is that outsiders have value as well. Notice what Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's a few categories that are mentioned here. He says there is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. No longer were the promises of God only for those who were Jewish. Jesus came to bring the good news of the gospel to all, both Jew and Gentile alike. Lots of Paul's writing in the New Testament bears that out as well. The ministry of Jesus was to Jew and Gentile alike. And we see lots of examples when Jesus' ministry went way beyond those of just the Israelites. We think specifically of opportunities where he highlighted Samaritans, whether it was the woman at the well, whether it was the parable of the good Samaritan, whether it was those who he healed of leprosy, and 10 of them went away to get healed, and one came back, and Jesus noted that the one that came back to give praise to him was actually a Samaritan. See, Jesus raised the value of those that were seen as outsiders. Quite honestly, most of us sitting here would be in that category. Unless you are Jewish and grew up in that tradition, we're outsiders. But Jesus came to break down that wall and to raise the value of all people. That's why he says, therefore, there is in Jesus neither Jew nor Greek. We don't make that distinction. Jesus says the gospel is for all. I'm raising the value of those who may not have started life in the Jewish heritage, but have come to faith in me and are part of God's family nonetheless. He says, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The promise that began in the Old Testament, reserved for the Israelites, but now because of this line that split history in half, the birth of Jesus, Jesus raises the value of all people because we all have the opportunity to put our faith in him and be united in Christ. The NIV Study Bible puts it this way: unity in Christ transcends ethnic, social, and sexual distinctions. Jesus raised the value and personal worth of you and I, whether we realize it or not. One of the most obvious ways that people consider how much something is worth is what someone's willing to pay for it, right? If you're negotiating and someone says, well, how much is that? And, well, it's really only worth what someone's willing to pay for it, right? And God demonstrated what each of us are worth to him, and Jesus demonstrated how he values each person when he was willing to lay down his life for us. He paid, as some would say, the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. That phrase is used not just in faith circles, but whenever we think of someone who sacrifices their life for something else, they've paid the ultimate price. Jesus paid the ultimate price. Why? Because Jesus raises the value and personal worth of every single one of us, you and I. And there's no exception clause to that. He doesn't say, except those who fill in the blank, except those who fit in this category, except the one who, there's no exception clause. So as you're here today and you think about this Christmas season, you think about the birth of Jesus, I hope you recognize that one of the lines that was crossed when Jesus came to this earth was how we value each individual person. Jesus raised the value of every single person because not only in his ministry, but in his death, he paid everything for you. Jesus raises the personal worth and value of every single person. That's the difference the birth of Jesus makes. That's why we celebrate at this season his birth, his coming to this earth, because of the difference that is made. Would you join me? Let's pray together. As we bow for a word of prayer, you might be here this morning and you're thinking, I never realized that anyone valued me that much. But this morning you recognize that God did, Jesus did. Scripture tells us that we can put our faith in him. If you've never done that, I invite you to consider trusting what God has to say and making a decision to follow him. Scripture says we do that simply by just asking. A simple prayer, something like this: God, I'm sorry that I've been trying to do things my own way. I realize how much you love me and care for me, that Jesus died for me. So I put my faith in that. I want to follow you. Help me to learn how to do that more and more each day, but I trust you. Thank you for loving me. Father, this morning as we are here and we've seen the beautiful message from the kids this morning, and we recognize that the message of Scripture is that you've raised the value of every human being. I pray, God, that we would feel that worth. We would know how deeply you love us. And that would invite us, compel us to trust you more and more every day. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship you this morning. May you take us from this place more in tune, more in step, more sensitive to how you will lead us in the days ahead. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we wrap up our time this morning, just a couple of things. First of all, if you happen to be here checking things out, you'll notice in the chair in front of you, there's a thing called a Connect card. There's a QR code on that, or you can fill it out with a pen and paper. But there's a place for you to check there, indicate if you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I would just encourage you, check that box, put it in the prayer box in the back, hand it to someone at the Welcome Center. Just get that to us so we can help you take those next steps. I encourage you on your way out, say hello to some folks. Say hello to the kids who did such a great job. Give them a high five. Congratulate them. And if you're here this morning and you would just like a few moments, there's something you want to pray about or there's a need you have, I'll just point out that members of our prayer team are up front after each service and are happy to spend a few moments with you and to be able to pray with you. So while everyone else is going that way, feel free to come this way and spend a few moments with them. God bless you. Have a great day.